Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? I am a little bit extra fired up this morning. Things are just getting better and better and better. I have found through my studies, just digging into the Word, I was joking around this morning. I carry a small library with me about everywhere I go now. I think I'm going to have to upgrade to another backpack. And then we may have to adopt like a teenage kid so that he can help carry or she can help carry another backpack just for the books. Terry, you're a little bit past the hairline saying, maybe a little past teenage. I don't know, but maybe. Maybe. Have you had to feed that guy? There's no way. I can't afford him. But no, I'm excited. If anybody is new here, we are doing something a little bit different, but I believe it is exactly what God's calling us to do. We are going this year straight through, starting in verse 1 in Hebrews. We're going straight through all of Hebrews. So by the time we get done with, whenever the Lord sees fit to end the series, whatever date that is on, that we will all say that as a church, not only did we read the book of Hebrews together, and not only did we talk about the book of Hebrews together, but we dug in deep into the book of Hebrews together. So as a church, when somebody says, hey, have you ever read the book of Hebrews? We can say, oh yeah, I have. Multiple times and studied it in depth. And man, how God glorifying is that for us to be able to go in and not just be able to say some verses, not just be able to say them, but to be able to tell people what they actually mean, to be able to actually use those verses, not for our own opinions, but to dig in so deep that our opinions become God's facts, right? That we learn what God desires us to learn, not what we want to hear say. Say this over and over and over again. If there is something in the Bible that we disagree with, and we study it and realize that that is exactly what the Bible says, we have to come to the conclusion that we are wrong. Man, that's hard to do. Especially when we get into the book of Hebrews and you start reading. We finished up last week the first chapter, and we're in chapter 2. If you guys want to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1 and go through verse 4. So as we get into that, I want to let you guys know again, and I know that we reiterate this each and every week, but in order to truly know what is being said by the author of Hebrews, we have to know the situation they're in. Right? We have to know why he's saying these words. It isn't just out there for nothing. I'm just going to throw out these words for nothing. There are exact reasons that he is writing this down. And we can relate to these reasons. As a matter of fact, what's going on is that you've got these apostolic Jews that believe in Jesus, yet they are still Jews, right? And they are just being attacked constantly to stop believing in this Jesus guy and get back to the things that you always knew. Quit trying to do these new things. Get back to what has always worked. And the fact is, when Jesus came in, so did the new covenant, right? But here as Christians, we sometimes, as we dig into this passage, we take that new covenant and we think it's just a free ticket to ride in the sense of do whatever we want as long as we pray a prayer, as long as we proclaim Jesus as the Savior. Man, it makes it so much easier. But as we dig in and we start learning about what that new covenant is, to what higher a standard we are, we just can't pay off our own debts. We need something much, much more. So I don't have any cool topics. Luke wouldn't, even before he left, he wouldn't put the Wings and Things title up last week. I thought it was awesome. Ralton laughed, I laughed, you know. It was good. It was good. Not before lunch. Too early to be talking about Zaxby's, right? All right, we'll go a little bit later. So, don't have just an unbelievable, funny, outgoing sermon title. What I do have is God's Word, and I want to present it to you in the fullest way that I'm capable. And I want God to speak to us today, for you not to hear my voice, but to hear His. For us not to just allow our own ears to take in and let go of the words, but for God to come into who we are and to take in His Word and then to put His Word into action. To put His Word and proclaim it out to everybody. So here we go in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding, and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. At the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders, various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to His will." Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You today for Your Word. I ask that as those words go out, that we know that they are Your words, Lord. I ask that You do not allow Kirill to speak, Lord. I ask that You don't allow me to speak, and if any of these words are mine, that You shut my mouth, Lord, but that You allow my mouth to be open to proclaim only Your words and to proclaim the gospel and to glorify You and to point people in the direction that takes them to You. I thank You and I love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we get started, so last week we talked about angels and making idols of them, and that they are still part of God's creation, and the being part of God's creation, that we shouldn't idolize them, that we shouldn't put them above. They use them as servants, right? And He uses us as servants. So none of us should think ourselves as great or even in the same realm as God. We also learn, and Jesus is God, always was God, was there in the beginning of creation. And because of these things, now we get into chapter 2, and we actually start talking about some issues that the church is having, right? And it's the same issues that we have, some of the same issues that we deal with in the church today. Right? So we've got a society that is telling these Christians, hey, you know, what you're doing, how about not doing that so much, not making it so bold? I know that it's an, and they start drifting away. Right? We start getting this word. The Bible says they are starting to drift away. Why? Because they're trying to slowly listen to and conform to the world around them. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be cast aside. They don't want to be talked down to. Some of them probably don't want to lose their positions, their integrity, the things that the world sees them, and they start becoming worldly. It says, because of those things, or for this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. Two key words there when you go back into the Greek, okay? If we dig down into the Greek, we get two nautical terms, right? That first term is actually at the end of the verse, but we kind of need to say what that drift away is so what we know what drift away means, we can go to what the steering means. But that perireo, that word in the Greek means to drift away. It's a nautical term. And whenever we get into the visual of what this author is trying to say, we get this in this vision of a boat at sea. Okay? And if anybody, has anybody ever watched a TV show where everybody on the boat goes to sleep and they are woken up the next morning by a large horn, right? And they get up and they look and all of a sudden there's this big, huge ship getting ready to just take them out. Has anybody ever seen anything like that? Raise your hand if you've seen a show or a movie or something where that is the wake up. So that visual, that Greek word gives us that visual of us being a vessel in the water that did not pay attention to what was going on, and we became sleepy to the world. We fell asleep and allowed the ship to just go wherever it wanted to go. Sometimes we wake up with the world's ships crashing into the side of us. Sometimes we wake up and we look around and we're lost. We don't know where to go. We can't see anything that gives us bearings. We feel hopeless. Because slowly, as we go away from God's word, as we go away from his desires for the place he wants us to be in life, we start stepping away until the next thing you know, we're lost. The next word there, and it's a nautical term that we get into, talks a little bit differently. It talks about to hold fast, to anchor down, or sometimes to steer, to put in line. That Prosecco word that's used there means, or is used there when it says, when we have heard so that we will not drift away. That pay attention word there. Pay attention. As a matter of fact, we've got some things that the kids in our youth group are doing. And let me tell you a little warning of a time that I know Luke and Addie and I and Cody and a few of them, we had the opportunity to take the youth out on a trip. Right, and we go up to the mountains and we say, we are going to go whitewater rafting. And everybody told me, no matter what you do, keep everybody in groups. Don't let them take their own little vessels out. Keep them in the group. Show them how to navigate the waters before you just say, there you go, have fun. But as the young youth leaders that we were, and the kids begged to have these little duckies, some of us got on rafts, and some of us got on duckies. And duckies are look like these large rafts, but they're small, and they only fit one person. Right? So Luke and I, we jump in our raft, you know, we let a couple of rafts go with some of the big high school boys. They took a raft and they had a leader, and man, they were going. They were staying right in the middle of the current. Luke and I, we had our daughters and we had Addie, and we jumped in our raft, and then we struggled a little bit because, you know, we had some younger kids, but we were doing well. And all of a sudden, one of the young girls that decided she could handle a ducky on her own goes out into the water, and we see limb to the face, rock to the side. She just getting beat up by the edge of the water. To the point where she finally just takes her paddle, sets it in the boat, and lays down in defeat. So what do we do? See, when the world takes us out, when it constantly beats us up, and we don't have the people around us to help give us direction, aka the church, to keep us together, to give us the strength to paddle down together, for somebody to lead us in a way that says, I've been there before. For you guys that have been in church for your entire life, us younger ones, and I say that not in the same power that I used to years ago, we need you guys to tell us to take that left and take that right. I've been there. God has got me through that. Because what ends up happening is we drift away and we get beat up by the rocks, we get hit by the sticks of life to the point that we give up. We just give up. And here's this girl sitting on the side of the bank. The raft had been stuck by a tree, water was kind of running around, and she was just laying there. At that point in time, she didn't care if she made it down the water. She didn't care if we all got down to the end on the bus and got on the bus without her and just went home. She had given up on everything. She just laid there, willing to allow everything around her just to consume her. So what did we do? We jump out and Luke says, "Hey, I'll take the boat. And I'll go over here." I said, "Luke, I'll go over here and I will get her, put her in the boat, and I'll take the ducky down by myself. And you guys go down together." Well, she gets in. I go down. Terrible, terrible trip. Because see, that wasn't our initial plan. Our initial plan should have been what was told to us: keep everybody together as much as you can and use each other's strengths and weaknesses to keep you from drifting out of the way that led you to a good and just trip down the waters. I, by myself, even though I could paddle, I was being hit by everything and inside. I flipped over several times. I was beaten. I was actually bleeding and cut up. Luke and Addie did all that they could do as they were trying to navigate the boat by themselves, but didn't have anybody in there to help them. And they struggled the way down and they barely made it. Whereas if we would have stayed on course at the beginning, if we would have been there together, just like whenever the church meet up, if we see someone drifting, that we stop before it ever gets too far and we say, let's get back to what we need to do. Those nautical terms of drift away leads us to a place that takes us out of God's will for our life. And those branches beating up against the side of her body and the side of her boat were a warning. Just like in that movie when you wake up to the horn blasting, if something doesn't change here, your life will not be spared. If we do not pay attention to the drifting away, if we aren't willing to help gather somebody back that is drifting away, the only thing that's left is lostness, and lostness leads to death. The other word here talked about, when it starts here, it says we must pay attention. Paying attention to the details before you get lost, right? So whenever you're growing up, your parents probably told you to listen and to look at before you go take your vehicle out. Check the oil. If you start hearing some ticks, come and tell me and we'll help you. Start looking and paying attention to the problems in life before we go to the drift away part. Because if we see the issues, we can possibly fix them before we get there. So another nautical term there, and then I'm going to relate to some water, is that I used to, when I worked for NOAA, we would go up into Maine and we would fish the Penobscot River. And we would get into these metal boats with very small engines on them, but you had to be very careful because the river there could be somewhat turbulent at times, but it was definitely enough that it would spin you around, and the next thing you knew, you would be hitting the rocks or you would be stuck in a pool where it was too shallow. So the best way that one of the guys that fished the river all the time said to make sure that you steer in the same direction and are able to fish the way you need to fish is if you throw out this big log chain. He said the chain's going to slow you down and it's going to give you the ability to look out and to see the obstacles ahead. Sometimes as Christians, We think that, man, just full steam ahead, nonstop, let's keep going, let's get there, let's figure out our path, let's go full speed, let's jump that rock. It doesn't work. Sometimes we need to cast out that chain, that anchor, that may not just stop us, but it slows us enough down that we can see the obstacles ahead of us and that we can do what we're supposed to do to ensure that we don't crash and sink, that we can have the time to go out there and fish. Isn't it so funny how God uses these terms, these everyday terms, so that we can go out and fish, so that we as Christians can be fishers of men. Sometimes we got to navigate the waters. That means slowing down sometimes. That sometimes means placing that rudder in when you really want to go down this way, but you know that way leads to safety. Steering the boat in the direction of safety. Making sure we know where we need to be and go. So we've got these terms. We've got the idea of what the author is trying to tell us about God's word. Even though we see all of these things, we need to make sure that we are where God wants us to be and that we're following the path He wants us to follow and that we're doing it in a way that we're watching out, not just for ourselves, but for others that are drifting away. Quit looking at the world. You know, my son likes to watch on YouTube. He loves watching Dude Perfect. Anybody else watch Dude Perfect before? Right? Dude Perfect, my dad gets so mad all the time. He said, you got to turn the Dude Perfect off. Because if you ever come to a ball game where we're out there actually ready to play, it's Dude Perfect all over again. You know, can I throw one from 50 feet away and make it in? Recklessness. As Christians, sometimes we need to have less recklessness in our life. We need to sit down and study what's God's plan for us. We need to sit down and say, God, what do you desire for us? What defense are you calling for us to play today? What offense are you calling for us to play today? For if the message spoken in verse 2, for if the message spoken through angels was legally binding and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape it if we neglect such a great salvation? Now, as we get into hearing this word, so when we talk about the angels here, he's talking about the bringers of the Old Testament law. We talked about that last week, right? He's talking about the bringers of the Old Testament law. If we are so set, remember, place yourself in the same place that these guys are, right? If you're so worried about the old ways of doing stuff that you forget about Jesus and his love for us, we've lost it. We've lost it. And see, everybody's trying to get them to go back and say, get back to our traditions, get back to the law, get back to what we're doing. But that word we there, we think all the time that everything that's written down here that it is exactly spoken to Christians, but this is spoken to everybody. We. Be careful because everybody has the same decisions to make. Whether we make them or not, whether we can or not, whatever the situation is, the decisions there have to be the same. Are we followers of Christ or not? Those are the only two options. One leads to grace and salvation, and one leads to just punishment. Those are the only decisions that we have. And here he's saying, listen, the Old Testament may have gave us the rules. However, Jesus is here. The Old Testament spoke of Jesus. So if we have disobedience, wait a minute. For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, if all that occurred, How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? When everything points to Jesus and we can follow everything else, but we can't follow Jesus, how can we neglect such a great salvation? This gets into a little bit of the things that we deal with today. If the world tells us some things like, man, if you're just a good person, how could God possibly punish you? If you're struggling with these things, it's okay, as long as your emotions are in the right place. As long as your feelings are in the right place. The world tells us then go with your feelings, go with your emotions, go with the things that you were thinking are right. But even when the law says that we can't do certain things, how can we go above and beyond? See, we use Jesus as that ticket, as I was speaking before, that we can do whatever we want to do in life. We can treat people however we want, as long as we feel that it's the right way, or we, even if we don't, that we feel good about it, that God should understand. However, when Jesus speaks the law, he goes beyond the law. He says, hey, some of you may not have murdered, but you had hatred in your heart. I'm here to tell you that even if you had hatred, you have sinned against God. The law said murder. Jesus goes above and beyond. See, Jesus seeks for us to follow him in every single aspect of our life. He doesn't ask you to just take the manual and check off each every portion of what he tells us to do, and then just everything else is free game. He says, no, we have to have a relationship with him. A relationship with him that encompasses all of who we are, that changes us, that goes beyond just following rules and goes into desiring to live a godly life for him. See, you could do everything your boss asks you to do on paper and still be a terrible employee. If any of you guys are managers, you have probably figured this out, especially if you work somewhere like at Y12 where I work, right? I work out there, and there are guys that can tell you each and every single rule to keep you hired on. They can tell you exactly how not to get fired, and they can follow every single rule and yet be a terrible employee because they break everything outside of it, right? I'm willing to go by those rules, but man, when there's not a specific rule for that, you're going to pay. God does not ask for our lives to be that same way. He doesn't say, oh, okay, wait a minute. In this situation, I can't murder you, but man, I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life. I'm going to let you come back. I'm going to hit you back. And then I'm going to beat you again. And I'm going to do that for the rest of your life. But I didn't break anything because I didn't kill you. Didn't break any laws. Made your life miserable, but I didn't break any laws. That's not what he asks. He asks us to love our neighbor, to love God, and to seek to be as close to him as possible and to follow him in every decision that we make. Not to work around the law, not to work just by the parameters of the law, but to encompass our entire lives with godliness, with goodness, and with a desire to seek him in every single breath that we have, in every decision that we make. Because see, whenever we try to go with just the law and we become so legalistic, we start drifting away from the relationship. We go back to those first verses. We start drifting away. The law becomes something to do, and the Bible tells us that it's not by works that you're saved, but by faith alone in Jesus that you are saved, that you receive grace. We think if we do all the best things, if we teach our Sunday school classes, if we do those, but then everything outside of that, we're going to push to the limits of serving ourselves that we'll be good. No, that's not what God desires out of our life. He desires us to be intimately involved with him in a relationship that seeks out his will in every aspect of our life. We can't give excuses for our failures. We have to seek for God to help us through those. We can't say, oh, I'm sorry, I do that, it's just me. We have to seek to be Christ-like and change those aspects about us. And then we say, goes in just a little bit farther, and as a matter of fact, we are going to actually cut this a little short this week. I've got so much more, and in verse 3 here, see, last week I pushed on, and I talked to some people. I said, hey, I wish I would have just had a little bit more time. I'm not going to do that again. If we get in-depth into something, I want to sit in it and study. It says in verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So when we get into this, what does that mean? Confirmed to us by those that heard him. See, Jesus walked and he trained and walked with and nurtured and loved on his disciples, right? And his disciples then spoke the same things that Jesus spoke in the same way that we should when we hear God's word. When God speaks to us through his word, our job is to go out and proclaim the word. And what is being spoken here says that not only did you not hear Jesus speak, but you also heard his disciples. See, there's a lot of things that go around and rumors that get started. One of the things that these Jews would have shared is, hey, I guarantee you that the tomb was empty because his disciples probably came in and stole the body. And you're just believing a bunch of that stuff because they stole and hid the body. Now, let me ask you this question. I could see that possible argument if we got into a cult-type situation where somebody proclaimed Jesus and proclaimed something great, and they gathered all of the money and the fame and the desires of their heart, and they brought them all into themselves, and they became higher than, maybe they became higher than in the church. Maybe they were well thought of. Maybe people were throwing things constantly at them. They lived a good life. They rolled up in their bins. You know, whatever it was, maybe if that happened, but the same people that proclaimed that the tomb was empty lived in the same way Jesus is. They constantly traveled proclaiming the gospel. Money meant nothing to them. They went and had no homes, and yet they still proclaimed the gospel. Almost all of them were murdered and martyred for their belief. Why would somebody live that sort of lifestyle when they could have said, man, that was all a hoax and a fake. Now I can go back to the church and proclaim it so that we can straighten everybody up that's messed up. Maybe we'll get some own power from ourselves. These guys didn't do that. Not only did they hear Jesus, but they carried their cross for Christ. When they saw the empty tomb, even though they knew that empty tomb led to worldly death, it ended in grace and life everlasting for them. As Christians, when we go and we have proof of the empty tomb and the gospel of grace given to us, when we have Jesus given to us, we have to go out and proclaim it and know that the world is still going to tear us apart if we don't drift away into the ways it seeks for us to drift. My question is, are we willing to set us aside to glorify God through the proclaiming of the gospel? Are we willing to share that there was an empty tomb, knowing that that would lead to physical death in our own lives, but that it would also give us grace I'm here to tell you today, and I end every day, everybody get a little smile, but if you're visiting with us today, then I can share nothing more important than the following statement. No matter who you are, where you came from, what your past looks like, what today looks like, or what tomorrow you think looks like, Jesus came to this earth and crawled himself, placed himself up on a cross after he was beaten and torn apart, and paid the fullness of your sin and my sin for you freely. If you don't know that statement, if you don't know Jesus as the Messiah, as your Lord and Savior, then you're just drifting, waiting for the horn, waiting for the branches to beat you down, waiting for the banks. Question is, do you seek a relationship and do you have a relationship with God? I'm not talking about a prayer. I'm not talking about a deal. I'm talking about, do you seek to have Christ as the center of your life? God gave you his son freely. The question is, will you allow your old self to die and your new self to live? As worship team comes back up, we're getting ready to have a song. We have some awesome news. We have at least one family wanting to join today. We've been doing that fairly regularly here at Fireside. If you, one of two things, if you are saved and want to join us in ministry, you want to join us in going out and proclaiming the gospel, and you want to know more about who we are, we have this class that's coming up in the end of February, and it's a class for any new members or potential members. If you would like to come be a part of that, come and tell us. If you have already decided, I want to join you guys in membership, I want to join, I want to be in that raft with you guys, I want to make sure that I have a home church that not only keeps people together and shows the path, but also goes out and steers the rudder to lead us down the right way, and I need a home family like that. We would love for you to be a part of our ministry, for you to be a part of us, to go out and be the hands and feet. But most importantly, if you don't know Jesus today, I'm going to be standing right up here. I usually go to the back. I'm going to stand right up front. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can't pray the prayer for you, but I can tell you the gospel that was proclaimed to me is right. It is truth. And I can share that with you and show you the path that God laid out before us that leads to grace and eternal salvation. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing us to hear you, to know your word. Lord, I ask that you give us the ability to take your word, to take it out into the streets and into the highways and hedges or into the Walmarts or wherever it is, Lord, and to proclaim you, but not just in our spoken word, but in each and every action, that every time that we take a breath, that we seek that breath to draw us closer to you, Lord. If there's anybody that seeks to join us in ministry, to go out and proclaim the gospel, Lord, and to try to change our lives, to change our community, to change our world, Lord, I ask that you give them the ability to stand up and join us, Lord. If there's somebody that today doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I ask that your spirit enter them, that you give them the desire, that you draw them close to you, that you draw them into salvation, and Lord, that they are able to proclaim you as the Messiah, but also to live a life that shows you in everything that we do. Lord, as we have this last song, if there's any decisions that need to be made, we ask that your spirit give the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to make those decisions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.